AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Monday. Good to be with you today. Can I just ask, where did the 75-degree days go? Didn't we used to in summer have days where it's 75, you could keep the windows open? Man, I haven't had a day with the windows open. I think we've had like two since May. Ugh. Just a little moist, too. That's always pleasant. Because I always like to live someplace like, you know, Mississippi, Alabama. That's what I always wanted to do in the summer, to lose weight. Brett is back. You were on vacation. How was your vacation?
Very good, and it's a stress to you, Comrade McNeil.
Oh, yeah, well, we'll get to that. Cliff Schechter is joining us in a little bit.
Yeah, it was good, though.
What in the world is going on here? Were you in town? Did you go anywhere?
Yeah, I was actually streaming an event in Detroit, so it was kind of work, kind of vacation.
Okay. Well, in Detroit,
mm-hmm.
All week? Wow.
Yep.
Four days in Detroit. Well, after the first 12 hours.
There's no place to go on vacation like Detroit.
It is. It's an adventure for your nasal canals. Oh, enjoy. It's the reason why people are screaming at when Kid Rock looks like sensible, you know, political leadership. You know, that tells you everything about Detroit. Raspberry Festival wrapped up yesterday.
I missed that. Is the golden raspberry still a thing?
Yes, and I didn't get it. Thanks a lot, Brett.
I know there was the big conspiracy and controversy last year.
Well, I didn't get it. What was the controversy? No, it was 2 years ago. It was a controversy. Last year was fairly normal. This year was fairly normal.
Yeah, well, the 1 year where everybody was upset about.
Oh, yeah, that was when they just that was goofball. But I did
so
not
got that straightened out now. Yeah.
Yes, but I did not get the thing this year. One of these days I'm going to find that thing. I'm going to find it. I'm going to be happy with it. But we had lovely fireworks. There was a lot of events going on this weekend. I think because 4th of July was on the Wednesday of the week previous, I think a lot of things got condensed down in that second week. But I enjoyed Raspberry Festival. I hope you had a fantastic weekend. We have a lot to get to today. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Like I said, Cliff Schechter is going to be joining us here in just a little bit to talk about the insanity that was Trump Putin today. But joining us right now is Lori Ann Clark. She is running as a Democrat in 21A, just southeast of the metro area. She's kind enough to join us as Democrat of the Day. Lori Ann, thank you much for the time. I do appreciate it.
Well, thanks, Matt, for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Well, it is very nice to have you here because we've done a lot of outstate candidates in the Southwest. We've done a few up in the North, but I don't know if we've gone to the southeastern part of the state yet. So I'm excited about this. Let's hear about who exactly is Lori Ann Clark.
Well, so I am a small business owner here in Cannon Falls. For the last 20 years, I've been an owner of an electronics manufacturing company in Cannon Falls, and like I tell people when I'm out door knocking, you know, normally I'm busy running my business. But after the 2016 election, it was pretty clear that I'm not happy with the direction this country is going in, and that it was time to step up and be a little more vocal and a little more involved in doing something to change that. And I got involved with Indivisible Cannon Falls, so shout out to my great group down here that's been very active supporting myself and the other candidates down in this area, and we are actually stepping up to do something about it. And, you know, I ran for office because Indivisible Cannon Falls asked me to run, not because the DFL party asked me to run. But the exciting thing for me is that we are the party. When you look at everything that's going on right now, as you said, the insanity that's happening, we are the party that is putting the country over partisan politics. And, you know, Matt, my colors are purple. My campaign colors are purple. And I tell people my colors are purple for a reason. It's not supposed to be about left or right. It's not supposed to be about red or blue. It's about doing the things that are the best for Minnesotans and work. And that's not happening right now. And so we need a whole new crop of legislators to get up in St. Paul and make that happen.
Well, and I also would make an argument, too, the DFL, because of this concerted campaign by the Republicans to convince rural parts of this country that it's them versus us, and they have been very successful with that. It is the Democratic Farm Labor Party, the agricultural and stuff. I mean, it's a shame that I think a lot of ag sectors have had to realize that Trump basically sabotaging their soybean and pork production and this completely and totally unnecessary trade war is proof positive that the Republicans generally don't have their best interests in mind. But the reality is the better party for outstate Minnesota is the DFL, and it has basically always been that way. It's just basically there's been this concerted campaign to say, oh, metro area. And the reality is I've talked to numerous candidates in outstate Minnesota. They're proud Democrats. They're proud DFLers. And the reality is exactly what you said. And I'm looking up in your Twitter feed right now as you go after the retweet that you put out there of CD2 Action where you talk about, you know, this is not what people signed up for with Trump and the Republicans, to have a president kneel down to a foreign dictator, for goodness sakes. I mean, this is getting out of control, and we need to have a new direction.
Absolutely. And I'll take it from another perspective too, Matt. I'm a small business owner. And I will tell you, as a small business owner, I can give you so many reasons that you should be a Democrat. And the farmers are small business owners. You know, small business owners, farmers, educators, unions, we all are Democrats because we want a public education system that supports our communities, our students, but also our small businesses. You know, I was at a event last November where Minnesota Deed talked about the fact that our workplace shortage is going to go on for the next 15 years. And we know that. We all see the help wanted ads all over the place, don't we? Well, guess what? That's going to happen for the next 15 years. If you're a small business owner, you should be 100% for public education. And why? Because they are going to educate your workforce of tomorrow. And that's an investment dollar that you don't have to spend. You know, when it comes to early education, investing in early childhood education, for every dollar we invest, we see returns that can be as high as $4 to $16. That's a 1,600% return on investment. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe I'm a bit of a nerd. I'm a CFO of my business. I love these types of numbers, okay? We should be all over these types of numbers, and so should the farmers.
Well, and they do it. And when you talk about numbers, let's talk about margins. You talk about the farmers, their margins, what, $24,000, $25,000 a year? Small business owners, they're living at their office. They're doing a lot of work there. You know, the thought of having to pay more for health care, not having, in the case of the farmers, not having markets for your crops. I mean, there's not a lot of wiggle room for discrepancies that, such as, you know, sabotaging our international trade relations or basically saying, you know, hey, no health care anymore. You're on your own. Good luck. Either bankruptcy or death. On you.
Exactly. And from a small business perspective, again, I'd say, you know, we know large companies pay less than we do as businesses. They pay less as farmers, and they pay less as individuals. When you're a farmer, when you're a small business owner, you should be all over single-payer health care, because that takes health insurance off of your income statement. And why would you not want that? So, you know, there are so many things that I think when I'm out there having conversations with the farmers, with the small business owners, with people in rural communities, because public education and that dollar spent and locally, that dollar that stays local, is so important for our rural economies. You know, I've been a Toastmaster for years, and I remember hearing a long time ago, every dollar that is spent locally cycles around 7 times before it kicks out of the community. And in our rural communities especially, that is so important. And who are the foundations of our rural communities? Two key groups: our public education, our teachers in our school systems, and our farmers. And so that's why they are so critical to our rural economies. And that's why, whether it's healthcare or public education, we need to keep those strong, support them at a state level, and that's how we keep our rural Minnesota strong. And that's how we welcome all of these individuals back into the DFL party.
Lori Ann Clark running for DFL as 21A. Once again, just really quick, describe where you're Cannon Falls. Where's the district at for 21A?
Yep, I am Cannon Falls over to Red Wing, Lake City, Goodhue, down to the city of Wabasha. So northern Goodhue and Wabasha County.
You are, your bio on Twitter, you're a farmer's daughter. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Bird Island, Minnesota.
Okay.
Straight out. Yep.
And that's out west, right?
That's out in Renville County. Yes,
yeah.
Straight out Highway 212.
How'd you end up? I will ask. That's an interesting. How'd you go from there over to Cannon Falls?
Actually, I went from Bird Island to Virginia State, Boston, the Twin Cities, and back down to Cannon Falls. And you know, we picked this community in part because it was a beautiful place for us to grow our business. And we stayed here because of the excellent workforce and community assets that are in this community and area. It's a great place to live and work, and all of Minnesota is. And there's just so much more that we can do to make it a better place. And I'm excited about winning in November to do just that.
And your background from what you just described, let's talk about another thing that outstate Democrats have been talking with me about, broadband. You've been in metro areas where you see, you know, having good broadband brings in business. And we've had the Republican Party of Minnesota now for 10 plus years promise outstate Minnesota broadband everywhere. They haven't been delivered. You know, when you're talking about, you know, Red Wing, Cannon Falls, you're talking about the communities that are down there. Having effective broadband, having just, you know, this is a basic necessity. This is a utility basically at this point. The fact that we can't, this would be like not having good water or good electricity in a business. Talk about that. And that's a promise that the DFL is willing to follow through on and get broadband into outstate Minnesota.
Oh, absolutely, because right now we are like second-class citizens in the high-tech world. You know, I own a high-tech manufacturing business. We do digital signal processing, so we do high-end audio products. And I'm out here in the country. I'm working with customers all over the world. I'm trying to upload 100-megabyte files, and I've got slow Internet access. And so for the chair of that committee, Pat Garofalo, to sit there and say that satellite is acceptable, or that he's excited that $0 this year went to broadband in greater Minnesota, is simply unacceptable. Our businesses need broadband, our communities, our families, our students, our farmers, and we're not getting it. And shame on the GOP for saying, oh, I don't want to give a win to Dayton, and I'm willing to let all of Minnesota suffer instead of giving us the broadband that we need to compete in America. You know, I heard another stat, Matt. For every 6 months that a business goes without an employee, they lose $14,000 in profit. And I think the GOP has it all wrong. It's not about taxes. When you talk to business owners today, they don't care about taxes. It's about finding workers. And we're out here in greater Minnesota. We don't have broadband. We don't have the child care and the housing that they need. How are we going to compete in today's economy when we don't deliver the housing, the child care, the broadband in order for these rural communities to compete? And that is what the GOP, the Republicans, are willing to do. They're willing to let us suffer just for a partisan win. And that's what I say is not okay. It is unacceptable. And that's why we need new leaders in St. Paul.
Lorianne Clark, 21A. This is a close one, people. And this is where I get, Lorianne, where I say, you know, help your local Democrat. If you're in the metro area, help your local Democrat. But if you're in a relatively safe district, take some time. Beautiful 21A is just down to our southeast. It is not a far drive. It is very manageable. You can get down there for a weekend. Help out. I mean, I imagine you're looking at door knocking, parades, all that sort of. You need volunteers on the ground, correct?
Absolutely. You know, we're opening up an office in Red Wing. In fact, the Internet access is getting in today. I've got door knocking going on this week, and I've got Wabasha State Fair and Wabasha Parades coming up on the 21st and the 28th of the month. And so there are lots of opportunities to come on down and help us out.
Well, you heard me talking about the Raspberry Festival, and I'm here at Hopkins. What's coming up on the 21st? What do you have going on down there?
In the 21st, we have the Wabasha County Fair.
Okay.
And I'll be down there for a day. And I will also be door knocking down in Wabasha on the 21st. And I've got door knocking going on. I typically am out there Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Saturdays. And I was actually out training. A shout out to Jesse and Kate, who went door knocking training with me today at lunchtime to get yet another pair out there in door knocking. So there are lots of opportunities to help us out.
And it would be great. And when we talk about going on out there, because this is a big deal for me, getting volunteers out to help you. You know, if you're going to be going out to the Wabasha County Fair and you're going to be Wabasha on the 21st, you know, we could, you know, if we could get enough volunteers down there, you know, seasoned door knockers that are willing to go down there and canvass the entire town, you know, think about the impact. I mean, that is a huge deal. But as well, not only that, but there's other opportunities to volunteer and donations. Obviously, you can go to Lorianne Clark, 21A online. That's clarkforhouse.com, C-L-A-R-K for forhouse.com, CLARKFORHOUSE.com. You can donate and volunteer there, and I imagine you'll have a list of upcoming opportunities and places you're going to be at. So if people want to do come down and help out, they can find out that information, correct?
Absolutely, yes.
Lorianne Clark. Lorianne, I'll link to all this a little bit later on online. All my best down there. 21A is DFL territory. The Minnesota DFL can win that seat. I think you're a great candidate, and all my best.
Thank you so much for your time, Matt.
My pleasure. Democrat of the day, Lorianne Clark, 21A. We'll take a break. Come on back. Schechter coming up here in just a little bit. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. Even though Auto Technical is a small nonprofit, we have helped more families with transportation than any organization in Minnesota. Since 1994, we have reconditioned donated vehicles so they have a higher tax benefit. Call Richard at 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526 or autotech.org.
Kevin Ross here, inviting you to our brand new store called Ambibulous. What does Ambibulous mean? It means one who enjoys alcoholic beverages of all sorts. Ambibulous is a Minnesota maker's market. Unlike traditional liquor stores, we feature only craft beer, wine, and spirits made here in Minnesota. We are ready to guide your selections, where you can build your own 4 or 6 packs. Find us at 949 Hennepin Avenue East in Northeast Minneapolis or online at ambibulousmn.com.
I'm Steve Conklin.
And I'm Jake DeRoff.
We're the hosts of the Mortgage Talk Show, Sundays at 12:30.
Every week we bring you insights on home financing, discussing rates, programs, local and national news.
Whether you're buying your first home or your 100th home, we have tips and inside information to save you money and feel like a mortgage master.
Check us out for more information and email us any questions at mortgagetalkshow.com.
Tune in to the Mortgage Talk Show every Sunday at 12:30 on AM 950.
Anytime is the right time to update your music collection, so stop in at the Electric Fetus and browse their massive selection. You'll find everything from rock and pop to international and roots, and so much more, on CD and vinyl. Not only is Electric Fetus the best stop for music, but they also carry a wide and unique range of gifts. Bath products, clothing, books, stationery, candles, incense, you name it. That's the Electric Fetus at 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis and online at efetus.com.
This is Pat with PJW Automotive. How do you choose an automotive repair shop? I bet you look for quality and dependability. You want someone you can trust to do the job right the first time. It saves you money and hassle because you're not coming back over and over again. My team of top-notch automotive specialists knows vehicles inside and out, and I guarantee it's worth the drive to PJW Automotive. One exit north of 694 on 35W and online at pjwauto.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Thanks, Lorianne Clark, for joining us. Once again, 21A, just to the southeast of us. Get down. That's DFL territory. You can help out. And like I said, help out your local Democrat by all means. But, you know, take some time this weekend to get out of the Twin Cities and go help these Democrats in outstate Minnesota. It is incredibly difficult to canvass out there, especially when they don't have the volunteer base that a lot of metro area Democrats have. There are some exceptionally beautiful parts of the state. Red Wing, my God, is that a gorgeous part of the state. Heading on down there, go. Seriously, just go down. You'll have a great time this weekend at Wabasha County Fair. She's going to be down there. She needs to canvass Wabasha. I think we can make that happen. All right. That's clarkforhouse.com, clarkforhouse.com. Link to everything a little bit later on. Hello to everyone watching the show. I don't know, you're sycophants. But you can watch it if you so desire. Go to Facebook and you can watch the show. Facebook on AM 950, AM 950 Radio's Facebook page on Facebook. Two political notes here before we get to Schechter here. First of all, I know this is going to be hard to still believe. Jim Neuberger is still running against Amy Klobuchar. Now, you may say to yourself, okay, well, hey, Matt, you know, don't take any race for granted. Don't take any race for granted. Yeah, sure. Okay. But, you know, if you're trying to win this thing in a year that clearly is not going to go further to the right, I think we've gone as far to the right as we're going to go in this country. And we are, I mean, especially after you looked at the debacle of today, You don't probably want to get into bed with the worst of the country. You don't. Doesn't stop Jim Neuberger. This is Detroit Lakes Online, DL Online. Stopping in Detroit Lakes, Jim Neuberger, ready to take on Klobuchar. Although he's an old-school Republican, he still takes a strong stance on new Republican issues and wants to freeze the admittance of refugees into Minnesota and warns of the danger of Sharia law and police no-go zones in cities like Dearborn, Michigan. Oh, Dearborn, you get so belated, ridiculed here. The reality is, once again, the Muslim no-go zones do not exist. There was a hilarious moment on Fox News when they had a guy come on and say Paris had these no-go zones, that police and non-Muslims weren't allowed into these certain parts of Paris, which is a complete fabricated lie that get off of frickin' Reddit, you racist jackasses. How about I say it like that, huh? But these guys go out there and they believe this stuff. They read it and they, oh, it's true. So this guy goes up on Fox News, says it. Well, there's laws in France where Fox wants to compete, which basically say you can't make up news like this and you can't make up lies, which led to the very rare multiple, we're so sorry we didn't mean to say that. Dearborn, Michigan doesn't have the same laws of Paris. So it doesn't stop Neuberger and you know, his racist ilk from putting out their no-go zones. There is no no-go zone. This has already been researched numerous times. There isn't. You're just a bigot. You're just a bigot, Jim Neuberger. You're just a bigot. And if this is what you've got, once again, we'll go to the big board right now. We're making a call. Amy Klobuchar has won another 6 years as Democrat.
You do have to admit, it's exciting to see if he'll surpass Kurt Bills, though, from 2012.
Oh, there is no way he is going to beat Kurt Bills. He is going to, this is going to be a pantsing like you have not seen in a long time. Oh, you want to be a bigot? Fine. Go be a bigot on your own time. Don't waste our time. I can tell you this. There's a lot of Republicans that don't like this crap either. Although they're not very vocal with it. But go off to your little compound and be the racist little piggy you want to be. Come on, just stop bothering us. You know, how many times do you have to know? You know this is not true, but because your red meat base loves it, oh, you can't stop. You can't stop. I want to make another plea here. Do you remember when Rob Ford? Yeah, remember Rob Ford? Mayor of Toronto?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep.
You know, there were multiple people who were like, Rob, quit. Go get help. You clearly are having a breakdown in front of our eyes. You need help. Please, go get help. David Martinez. This is a candidate for St. Paul's Ward 4 Council. There are downward spirals, and then there are downward spirals. Dude, you were thrown out of the St. Paul libraries after an incident. A week ago, you were tossed out of a Minnesota Twins game. And by the way, the video evidence of it is that they threw you out justifiably. Yeah, this was not some sort of anything. You deserve to get tossed from Target Field. Last week, he posted semi-nude pictures of his wife who has a restraining order against him after allegedly physical assaulting her. And this morning, this was updated from the St. Paul Police Department. David Martinez was arrested by St. Paul police officers at 7:30 this morning, the 80 block of East 7th Place in St. Paul. He was arrested without incident for felony non-consensual dissemination of private sexual images. Mr. Martinez is currently in the Ramsey County Jail, and the case remains open and active. Saturday, July 14th, the St. Paul Police Department received a report that Martinez posted a topless photo of his wife on a blog. The case was immediately reassigned to an investigator who reached out to WordPress and twice requested that the blog be taken down. To my knowledge, I believe the blog is down at this point. Last night, Sunday, the site was taken down. Investigators are working to determine whether there are other images on the internet that will be working around them. All right. Mr. Martinez, I don't know who you are. I really don't. I don't live in St. Paul. I don't know who the candidates are for this ward race. I don't know any of this stuff. Okay? Dude, step away. You are clearly going through some serious personal issues. A political campaign is not where you want to air this. Step away. for you, this is not about anyone else. This is about you, dude. You've got some serious issues that you need to address. Find some friends. If you do drink, stay away from the booze. Just get some quiet solace and think about what you want to do. But trust me, this is not what you want to do. And this has nothing to do with political party or anything like this, because I don't think anyone's looking at this and labeling this as, I don't know what political party he is for that matter. I'm going to presume DFL, but I mean, I don't know. This is about, dude, you need to take, at the very least, you need to step back, step away from this whole thing, take a few deep breaths, and figure out a new trajectory for your life, okay? That's all I'm going to say on that. But you need to step away from this, all right? You need to step away. This is going horribly, horribly wrong. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. When we do return, Cliff Schechter joins us, and we shall be talking about, God, just what in the world was that? It is the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Everybody, make plans to attend the one and only Powderhorn Art Fair on Saturday and Sunday, August 4th and 5th in the heart of South Minneapolis and picture-perfect Powderhorn Park. Experience and purchase original artwork from more than 230 artists. Spend time with your family and friends creating your own work of art at over a half a dozen art stations. And don't forget to grab a bite to eat from over 25 different food trucks. So join us on Saturday, August 4th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. or Sunday, August 5th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. or both. The Powderhorn Art Fair is proudly brought to you by Powderhorn Park Neighborhood Association in collaboration with the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board with a generous gift from the Metropolitan Regional Art Council. Again, join us for over 230 artists, 25 food trucks, and 6 arts experiences on August 4th and 5th. So we'll see you there at one of the most local art fairs around.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambliot from Chambliot Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office.
And I'm Rachel Chambliot. Did you know a lot of people are afraid of the dentist? You don't need to be afraid of my dad. He makes going to the dentist comfortable and even fun.
We don't care if you're a dental regular or haven't seen a dentist in years. We just want to make you comfortable and get you out of pain.
If you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, host of the Minnesota Hospice and Healthcare Show, inviting you to listen to our new show airing on Saturdays from noon to 1. On my next show, I will be talking with attorney Kaylin Bedker about several topics from trusts to medical assistance and why you need to be aware of these legal concepts and how important they are in planning for elder care issues and end-of-life healthcare. Please join us this Saturday from noon to 1 for the new Minnesota Hospice and Healthcare Show. Learn more about us at minnesotahospice.com.
I'm John Peterson, and at Ferndale Market, we are proud to provide our free-range turkey to local restaurants and natural food stores. One of our partners since the beginning has been Birchwood Cafe, and we're excited to announce a new partnership product, the Birchwood Turkey Burger Patty. Made from their popular turkey burger recipe, using our antibiotic-free turkey and Birchwood's local and organic ingredients. Put an end to bland turkey burgers. Find this and all our Ferndale turkey products at your local co-op or natural food store. Visit ferndalemarket.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show, and indeed, pasty week over there. Milda's, I love Milda's. On Wednesday, Friday at lunchtime, they got the finished pasties. Delicious, great food over there as well. Great breakfast, too. 1720 Glenwood Avenue in Minneapolis, just east of Penn. Try the fried chicken. It is delicious as well. It's Milda's Cafe, the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. Tony, I believe, was over visiting the one of our sponsors here. Because if you can go over to Diamond Lake Road and 35W, the Museum of Russian Arts over there, they've got a great exhibit. They were over a local guy who had immigrated from Russia. Great pieces over there. His artwork, he went to MCAD, it sounds like, U of M.
Does a really good Putin impression as well. When he's recording
his did he do that? No,
no, he's a really good guy, though. Yeah,
well, that's good. The art museum is fantastic. If you get the chance to get over there and see it, please do. It is really, really a magnificent place and a place I highly recommend. So thanks for going over. Thanks for mentioning AM 950 when you did stop on by there. Cliff Schechter is the founder and president of the PR firm Libertas LLC. He's advised campaigns and political organizations run by former President Bill Clinton and Vice President Al Gore, author of the 2008 bestseller Real McCain, columnist for the Daily Beast. And the podcast is Must Listen To, and that is Unprecedented. And he's kind enough to join us right now. Hi, Cliff.
Well, hey, Matt. I don't know if we have enough to talk about.
I don't. Let's just get it. Let's just get into
it. So Das Vidanya, you know what I'm saying, comrade?
What the hell was that? That was even Fox News was like, I'm just presuming he was jet lagged. I mean, that's the only thing he can come out with. It was the epitome. I said this. It was the nerdy kid who thinks the guy with the switchblade and the Z-Rock car is basically the coolest guy in school. And so he gets invited to hang out with him, and he just becomes this kind of weasel, pathetically trying to get the approval of the guy that he thinks is cool. I mean, that's quite literally that's all we saw here was Trump basically gushing over Putin. Yeah. like a nerd being welcomed into an inner circle.
Yeah, like the little freshman kissing up to the senior.
Yeah.
So he's owned, right?
Yeah, he
that's
is. Just,
that's the only explanation for this. The former CIA director and not known to be a Democrat, John Brennan, referred to it as treason on Twitter. Sorry, Charles Blow, someone I wouldn't call someone who's hyperbolic, from the writer for the New York Times. Anderson Cooper said it's the most disgraceful performance he'd ever seen by a U.S. president. We could go on. I think maybe some people finally have now crossed that line. And I don't know where that exactly leads us, because we got the usual lame, weak, pathetic statements from your Bob Corkers and your Jeff Flakes, who were like, oh, well, this was disappointing and he shouldn't have done that. And, you know, the kinds of things like that when you just literally are tempted to punch them in the face. By the way, folks, I don't mean that literally. I should say that because, you know, I don't advocate violence, but it is a temptation. I mean, you just get to a point where everybody gets it now. And the only question is if all of the mechanisms we have in our democracy can force the Republicans who control the House and the Senate right now to actually do something, because they're aiding and abetting treason. And I don't think we should be after today's performance. And really well before it, but certainly after today, no one should be scared to say that.
No, I mean, it's like Voldemort. Now we can say it. You know, it's, yep. It's like you don't have to the man who shouldn't be named. No, it's the crime that shall not be named. No, it's treason. This guy worked with. Yeah, and just if you didn't, and by the way, if you missed this press conference, he even though he has 12 brand new indictments against Russians from the Mueller investigation, every intelligence committee that and anyone that deals with intelligence in the House and Senate, their committees have all come to the conclusion the Russians interfered. All of our intelligence agencies have said this. Trump sided openly with Vladimir Putin. And at the only thing he said that was really even close to condemnation was, well, we're both responsible for this. And the reality is it's one of the most mind-numbing explains. And that was the toughest he got in that entire
day. It was.
Yeah.
I mean, go read – anybody who thinks this is not correct should go read a dictionary definition of being a traitor. I mean, he betrayed the interests of the United States. He's been told by his own handpicked people – like Dan Coats, who actually was forced to come out and rebuke him afterwards. And I read that Dan Coats' statement, he's the director of national intelligence, was not checked with the White House first. That's the point we're at, where he had to come out and say, no, we are quite sure that this was the Russians who did this. You know, they shared sources and methods even, which they had to. I mean, the kind of detail that was in the indictments of those 12 GRU, the Russian intelligence officers, it didn't just name names, which it did. It talked about what they did, how they did it, what time they did it. I mean, they clearly – we had a trail on these guys that made very specifically clear everything they did, how they did it, when. So to act like, you know, this was just pulled out of, somewhere and made up and, oh, these guys could be right, but Vladimir Putin could also be right. I mean, our president stood on a stage with somebody who attacked us in much the same way. We just don't have the people dying in front of you like you do on 9/11. But they attacked our democracy in the very same way, essentially. And we have the current president of the United States standing there and kissing Trump's butt. Kissing Putin's butt the entire time. I mean, again, there's just no question. And I mean, look, you use Occam's razor here, right? I mean, the simplest and most straightforward explanation. We know this guy was laundering money for people for years. We know that his condos, up to 70% of them were being bought at times with shell, anonymous shell accounts. We know that in Spain, a prosecutor where a lot of this money was dumped in Europe and southern Spain with some of the big nice houses there, a prosecutor who's looking at this has tapes of Don Jr. saying, as he said, very disturbing things. You know, you don't need to be a genius here to figure it out. All these oligarchs, everybody who is successful in Russia is successful because Vladimir Putin allows them to be. There's nobody going off on their own being a free agent. All right. So if you were doing if you were selling to some of these oligarchs, you were selling them properties, you were doing things, Putin knew about it. And he has records of all that because he's a KGB guy. And we know for years this is what Trump was doing. I mean, Eric Trump, 2006, a disproportionate amount of our assets are coming from Russia, or our funding is coming from Russia.
Golf magazine, the Golf magazine interview, right?
Yes. I mean, yeah. When they went bankrupt and no other bank would touch them, outside of Deutsche Bank, of course, has had their own money laundering issues and had been – I mean, the Russians bailed them out. Russian money came in. So the question, you know, could it be one thing he has him on him? Maybe just the fact that Putin has records of oligarch money laundering and his own through Trump's properties for a year? Sure, it could just be that, but it could also be a million other things. He could have made an offer. We know that Aaron Banks, the guy who was the Brexit, you know, was the one who helped Brexit be successful in England or in the United Kingdom. We've now found he had 11 meetings. He lied about most to all of them with the Russians, and that he was offered these billion-dollar investments.
Yeah.
So when we saw that Steele dossier that Trump was offered a big investment in Gazprom, why would anybody doubt that? This is their MO. This is what they do. So it could be that he got billions of dollars in investments for whatever he traded with them. It could be that, you know, that it's just the past money laundering stuff. It could be the infamous P tape, and it could be 100 other things. But anybody who doubts that this guy is a wholly owned subsidiary of Putin, I dare you to go watch that video today. Watch. I'm not, you know, I'm not a dentist, but I have been to dentist offices, so I can read body language, you know, Matt. And that is a guy that was owned on that stage.
Well, okay. In the last week with the EU, the Britain, and now this, it has come to light. What is the modus? I mean, and this is the question, a rhetorical question being asked. What was the modus operandi of Putin? Why? What was he trying to get Trump to do? And it's clear at this point, and there was something there is very specific that backs this up. It was clear at this point that Trump and Putin are playing a version of good cop, bad cop, only that Trump is insane cop. And Putin is like, I'm a despot, but I'm not insane cop. And so Putin is getting Trump to make the United States look as bad as possible so that Russia doesn't look as bad to the EU, to China, to North Korea, to everyone else. That seems to be the modus operandi. And I think the when you look at what happened, not with the Putin interview, but he talked to the Finnish prime minister. There was a little press conference he had with them where he claimed, oh, the Finnish prime minister is a great member of NATO. Finland's not part of NATO, you idiot. He doesn't even know. He has not even taken the time to look at the membership list of countries that he's in. He's been given marching orders to break up NATO, break up the EU, basically ruin as many trade agreements as we can, because then it makes Russia look saner than the United States. I mean, would you agree with that assessment?
Of course. And also that this is, you know, the problem with Trump for them, and really, I mean, really the one godsend for us, is he's such a complete idiot. And he obviously is so mentally sort of challenged that he makes these things transparent. There are all sorts of things you're supposed to do. Like, he could have very easily in a way been like, you know, given a message to Vladimir Putin that day to look at Hillary's 30,000, you know, emails, which we found out that they started doing that exact day when he said that, which was clearly he was sending a signal. But anybody else would find a better way to send a signal than actually just saying the most obvious thing. But he's too dumb to do that. And so he leaves a trail everywhere he goes, right? He's sloppy. He's lazy. He's, you know, he's easily corrupted. So we can see a lot of this. You know, all you have to do is sort of start paying attention. And you're exactly right. I mean, the Russians have had the same goals forever. I mean, under the old Soviet Union and with Vladimir Putin, part of that, when he took over and was elected in 2002 and really stayed running the show since then, you know, their goal has been to they can only get, you know, grab the Ukraine and sell their sell the kind of oil and gas they want to sell and do the things they want to do. If they weaken the EU, eliminate sanctions, you know, they want it to be a bipolar world with the United States and Russia as allies, where each of us, you know, kind of like what Japan and Germany did with each other during World War II, which was you go take what you want on your side of the world. We'll go take what we want. And neither of us will complain to the other one about it. That's what Vladimir Putin wants. He wants them to grab back a portion of Europe. He wants them to grab back part of the Middle East, to do all sorts of things and to expand their influence and to not have these like the Magnitsky Act and the other sanctions that are against them that stop them from selling a lot of the gas and oil. They want that. That's what he's going for. And any way he can get there, and this is what Trump's giving him.
Cliff Schechter, kind enough to join us once again. Unprecedented is the podcast. Let's talk a little bit about the indictments from Friday, because this is all just one big story at this point. Really, when you look at all the stuff that we're going to touch on, it's all part of one big story. There are two elements of that indictment which really did raise my eyebrow. And the first one was the news that the Clinton campaign's analytics were hacked, which, I mean, if you're trying to turn 70,000 votes in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin into from Clinton votes to Trump votes, you need those analytics. And now this is the first time we know that the specific targeting of the Clinton campaign was hacked and likely then counter-programmed to try to help Trump. The other was the fact that Mueller basically laid out, we have the definitive proof of a congressman, didn't mention which one.
Yep.
Asked the Russians for the documentation, and the Russians supplied it. So we and that the whole thing, the reason that was included in this was to kind of lay the groundwork of, yeah, we already know this has happened once, and we're just sort of saying so. Don't
Devin Nunes?
Exactly.
I mean,
I don't know.
No, he didn't. He wouldn't have needed it, but in his district, although he might now. But I think that's the important part. People forget in all of this too, which is DCCC was also hacked.
Yes,
and it's quite clear these guys reached out in certain states to about congressional races to certain Republican operatives, that one in Florida who's already been unmasked. And so, when you sit here and you think that these guys, whatever their reasoning is, right, that they're just partisans or they're just protecting Trump because they're scared of their base and having a primary. I mean, these all could be true, right? This could all be true. But what people forget is it could also be that they're protecting themselves.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that's so hard to forget, that people really have to kind of get a grasp of here. That I don't think anybody has a clue how deep it goes. We already have examples in foreign countries, and I don't know why we can't apply what happens. I brought up what happened with Brexit, for example. Many examples of journalists being bought, of key government officials being bought, so when you look at the indictment that was released today, because it's hard to keep up with all of these, I wrote a story on Maria Butina, who's the most recent one you may have seen, Matt, about an hour or two ago. And she's the one who started the Russian gun rights group that was the sort of go through, if you will, between Alexander Torshin, a central banker, a former member of the parliament, and a Putin crony, and the NRA. Mm-hmm. So there's now further evidence that the NRA was in the information that was put in this indictment, again, out about 2 hours ago, she said that she'd talked to major officials and leaders of one major political party. Gee, I wonder who that is.
Yeah, exactly.
So the question is now, who are we talking about? Who is in on this? We know that behind closed doors, Ryan and McCarthy, Kevin McCarthy, Majority Leader Paul Ryan, House Speaker, joked that Trump was being paid off, and Dana Rohrabacher too, by Putin. They know this stuff. They know what's happening. They know the walls are closing in. And the interesting thing is to see who gets more desperate in defending Trump. Certainly Devin Nunes is the most obvious one. And I will say right now, I will be shocked if and when eventually this all comes out, he's not found to be guilty and complicit in something here. Mm-hmm. But I think there's more. If you're the Russians and you have the billions available by stealing all of your state's assets that they have, and it costs what? You can buy a U.S. congressman probably with $1 million, $2 million.
Same. Not that expensive.
Journalists make?
Yeah.
I mean, buy a couple right-wingers off who write for key places to make sure that the right-wing entertainment complex gets behind you, right? The Washington Times or the Daily Caller or whatever. I think we're going to find so much. And then on the far left, too. Because I have no doubt that, if Stein isn't complicit, some of those around her in that orbit are too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that one's, that's going to ring. I think there's going to be some ugliness that the left is going to have to come to grips with as well.
We are. He's done this in every other country, by the way. This is the exact sort of MO. He buys large chunks of the right, but he also buys the extreme left and tries to saw off on that side too.
By the way, I should just mention, Cliff and I, we're not for sale, so, get away from us, you jackasses. Anyway,
maybe for another story time. I was once offered a decent amount of money by a certain big oil organization to do PR for them, and I turned them down.
I've stripped on a table before for cash. It's what you have to do. I shouldn't be hasty.
We do what we got to do, my friend.
Now, let's talk. You brought up some people. Let's talk about Moscow Mitch. Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader. It really is coming. It just hit me this weekend, and I don't know why. It just all of a sudden really just kind of came down. Mitch McConnell was clearly getting briefed that the Russians were trying to throw the election to Trump. Yep. And then you have to ask yourself about the Merrick Garland seat, the Neil Gorsuch seat.
Sure.
And you say to yourself, did he, knowing the election was going to get thrown to Trump, is that the reason why he kept that seat open? Nothing to do with the Biden rule, which is garbage. It was the McConnell rule to keep it open. But
it doesn't even need to be that sort of straightforward, right? I mean, McConnell's willing to take risks. All he had to know is that they were helping. He didn't know for sure that Trump would win, but judging by how things were going otherwise, you would guess that Trump almost definitely was going to lose. He had inside information that they had a hell of a lot better chance because of what the Russians were doing. And so it makes you think, no. So do we know that he knew they were going to win? Nobody knew they were in the ball game and that Trump had a good chance because of them. And yeah, I'm absolutely convinced he's behaved in the way he's behaved because of what he knew. He's a singularly evil figure who, before even any of this stuff came along, has devoted his life to power and power itself and destroying all the foundations of the U.S. Senate, unleashing money, joining in, going so far as to join in lawsuits against campaign finance reform to unleash the kind of money that was used, and obviously, if Mueller proves what he's claiming, laundered through the NRA to get into our election. This was McConnell's dream because McConnell knows he's an uncharismatic dork that no one would ever vote for if they had honest information. And he knows that the papers – I worked against him, by the way, once in 2002, so I have special knowledge of him. The newspapers in Kentucky are actually relatively liberal, believe it or not, the Louisville Courier-Journal and the Lexington Herald-Leader, and they inveigh against him all the time. But he knew that they can only do that so often, and if he can get all this dirty money, he can buy all the TV commercials he needs, destroy the person he's running against. That has been that's what he's done to American politics. Mm-hmm. He's understood it from his own case. And so why would this be any different? This man has never put – everything else has always been about his holding on to power. And this is – I mean, again, if there's any justice in this world when this is all done with, the names of other non-presidents in U.S. history that come to mind, Benedict Arnold, Aaron Burr, Jefferson Davis, Joseph McCarthy. These are the names that Mitch McConnell will end up in a history book alongside if there's any justice in this world for how he's behaved.
And his wife, of course, is Secretary of Transportation, so there was that buy-off there as well. And final thing, we got about a minute and a half on this. How much damage has Trump done to our relations with NATO and the EU?
I mean, an enormous amount. I don't think yet we're at a point where somebody else can't fix it. And we can't, because there have been some other countries – nothing on the level of Trump, but have had some pretty bad leaders at times, and we've gotten past it. And I do think that there's still among the sort of professional class, as much as Trump has sort of chased them away, diplomats and other people at state and others like that, there still are the kinds of relationships, there's the kind of understanding. Europe knows they need us. We know we need them. And so don't get me wrong. This is going to damage us for a period of time. Absolutely. But I do think as long as we can successfully get this man out of office, get his party out of the majorities, and bring sanity back to this country, that can be fixed.
Of course, Unprecedented Podcast, that's over on Patreon, correct?
That is correct, yes.
All righty. You can go subscribe. It's what the cool kids do. Follow Cliff Schechter there on that the podcast, rather. And, of course, we'll list everything on the social media sites a little bit later on, and we'll spotlight this interview as well. Absolutely sensational. Cliff Schechter, thank you much. I appreciate the time, my friend.
Hey, thank you, man. I need to go scream somewhere, so I appreciate you letting me do it here.
My pleasure. Thank you very much. It is
Take care.
It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
This is never settled. Now through September 1st at the Museum of Russian Art is an exhibition of Minneapolis-based painter Leon Husha. The Art of Leon Husha, Balancing Act, showcases more than 50 pieces from 29 different collectors in the largest show ever of his bold and colorful work. A hometown favorite, the energy of Leon's playful art spans sculptures, paintings, and non-traditional media. See for yourself today and bring home a signed print or exhibition catalog from the museum store. For details, visit tmora.org.
Hi, friends. I've been talking to you about Minnesota's first green cemetery, Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. It's an entirely new way of looking at our last earthly step. Burials are designed to have as little impact on the environment as possible. For many of us, a continuation of the commitment we made during our lifetimes. Let me suggest you go to the website, mngreengraves.com. Explore what it is. Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. It's a lovely place, a peaceful place. Minnesota's first green cemetery.
Someone asked if I really do love my Rudy Luther Toyota Sienna as much as I say I do. Well, this week I've got groceries, a Target run, 7 sports practices with carpooling for 4 of them, 2 games, 3 music lessons, 4-H, dance, helping a friend move. We'll also probably have 3 play dates. I'll have to drive to work, and I'll have at least 1 weekend family outing. Yes, it's a lot, but I get to do it all in relaxing comfort and style. Yes, I do love my Sienna, and you can fall in love for yourself at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is having its annual store-wide sale. For the entire month of July, all of our indoor and outdoor fireplace products and accessories are at their lowest price of the year. At Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, we display, explain, and install the Twin Cities' most diverse selection of indoor and outdoor stoves and fireplaces, including metal and masonry pizza ovens.
My dog Stenson loves summers, visiting the dog park, long walks in the woods, and sleeping in the sun. But he is missing winter. Oh, not the outdoor outhouse known as paws or frozen ears, but those lovely long nights in front of the fire. I bought an energy-efficient wood stove from Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces about 7 years ago. Having a wood stove means more than lower heating bills. It means a happy dog.
Come see us. We have over 35 working displays in our store, which is just off I-94 at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, since 1977, out of the ordinary products and services to make fire work for you.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. We'll link to the SoundCloud stuff all a little bit later on. Both Schechter and also Lorianne Clark from earlier today. I'm fascinated by what I'm about to go do here. I got 2 days I'm going to be gone here. I got to go have a little surgery. Nothing major. you ever see what was that? Was that movie with Schwarzenegger where he had to go to Mars? And you had the little creature and the dude. You know, it's that. It's one of those things. Quartoro or whatever it was called. I mean, I can't remember what it is. Total Recall. Just a great film. And needless to say, I've got to have I got to have mine removed. No, it's not. It's a little hernia surgery. It's a minor thing. And I appreciate AM 950 and everyone here being very accommodating and letting me go do this. I will say this is when – when I realized I had to go get this done and I started paying attention once again pretty strong here to the healthcare system of our country. And once again, I want to make sure I'm aware through my wife's work, I've got very good health insurance. And to say the least, there has been more than a few eyebrow raising moments I've had where I'm like, really? 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 And this is with good insurance. You know, we had everything this election. This is everything. 2018 is every freaking thing. If you're not motivated to vote at this point, then I don't know what will. But for goodness sakes, get out there, get registered, get voting. I'll be back on Thursday. Until then, see ya.